morning. Today is Monday, October the 2nd. Joining us this morning is the For Real Police Chief for the City of Eureka, Mr. Watson. Good morning and congratulations, sir.
Good morning, Brian, and thank you.
Today you thank me.
well, just remember, there's a little thing called a vote that needs to take place by council here.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
However, I know you got the new business cards already printed up. The wallpaper, everything's all done. So, you're even driving the stealth fighter.
I actually haven't fully moved into the office yet.
Oh, I see. Does that mean the wallpaper?
That means I have a lot of crap in my old office. I need to move over.
Yeah. Well, the cleaning crew can take care of that for you, too. Our quote this morning comes from Thomas Jefferson in 1814. So, it was pretty close to when he shuffled off this mortal coil. Quote, "For God's sake, let us freely hear both sides." Isn't that kind of a novel concept these days?
These days, there's more than both sides. There's about a dozen sides on a lot of these issues.
That's true. It's not plus or minus. It's degrees. So now that we are going to presuppose that you are him, you are it.
Okay. You said tag, you're it.
Basically. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you missed the meeting. It's your turn. Okay. What is the community going to sense? Will there be a difference? Will there be continuity?
All of the above. I'm not a Mills Light, or is that a Miller Light? I don't know.
If it's 5 o'clock somewhere, right?
It's always 5 o'clock somewhere, I hear. I'm a different person, but at the same time, over the last 3.5 years or so, I've had the opportunity to have a lot of mentoring by the former chief as well. So, what you will see is a continuation of the emphasis and great value we place on community engagement, partnerships, preserving the public trust, and being present in the community involved. I do firmly believe that the police are the public and the public are the police. Like Sir Robert Peel once said, they call him the father of modern police.
Yeah,
we've heard that a few times. Yeah. But the concept is, we need each other. We need the public as much as they need us. And so that will continue. At the same time, you're going to see some inward focus in that. I really feel it's important to show our men and women that they're valued and appreciated, and to work on the work environment, to give them the best opportunity to go out there and provide the highest level of customer service to our community.
Unlimited budget. What do you change at the police station?
Well, unlimited budget, I would create a lot of housing and get every homeless person in there.
Not at the police station.
Not at the police.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm just sticking on unlimited budget here.
Okay.
Housing, mental health facilities, treatment programs, and all these troubled individuals wandering the streets.
Okay.
That's non-responsive.
Listen to the whole phrase. However, that might be a good technique for future use. Don't throw that one away.
I didn't know I was coming in for an oral interview.
No. Good Lord. Every month, man. It's a lot of times folks don't understand if you've got people who are working within a confined space, a building, for example, how a coat of paint can change things. Flowers. A new rug. Floor covering. Simple things that most times are affordable. How much that changes the whole atmosphere and the feeling and the sense. And all of a sudden everybody's perky and happy. And, lighting. Those kinds of basic things. So when you had said inside the building, I didn't know if you were talking about esprit de corps or if you were talking about the physical coldness of the structure.
The full range. For instance, we need a new roof. We needed a new roof for years, and we're going to get a new roof with a lot of support from the city manager to start with, but that's something we already have scheduled now. It's leaking like crazy, getting worse every year. There's issues with the heating and air conditioning in the building that has made it miserable often, and not just in the summer. You walk into one room, it's 90 degrees, literally. You walk into the next one, and it might be 60. And so, again, that's kind of a quality of life, work environment type of issue.
Long
overdue maintenance that you know, we need to catch up. And there's new paint in some rooms and some other things that we're fixing the building up, you know, which is important. But it goes a lot beyond that. People have to truly believe and feel that you're being authentic and that you actually value them and you care about them. And I really believe in balance. And so I want, and we will be a department that is balanced between our efforts and our relationships in the community, which people need, want, and expect. And also, again, how we take care of our people and creating a culture of accountability and excellence, of showing them that they matter, that they value. And, you know, the bottom line is this. It's great for a chief and the captains to believe in some of these great principles and be out there in the community. But that same level of commitment and service also has to translate down to the ground level, one contact at the time by the men and women that actually do the work. And part of how you do that is by, again, just going back and reminding them, you know, that what they do, their efforts are appreciated genuinely. And what can we do to help you do your job better and easier?
One of the things I think that a lot of folks will leap to, you said accountability, you said excellence. Perception that it's not there now. Or that might be the knee-jerk reaction, that the department isn't excellent now. The department is not accountable now. Well, you know, unless you run with a different cast of characters than what I talk to, most people feel pretty good about what APD is at this point. Okay, there's always gap management, opportunities to.
Yeah, yeah.
But by and large, it's not like you're dealing with a wagon that only has one wheel and you're really having to do an awful lot of work. Which is it?
Well, we've invested a lot of time and energy and focus being out there in the community again, and EPD's public image problem they said that we once had, and restoring public trust. That's important. That needs to continue. You can't coast on that. But now it's time also to look inward and balance that out again with, you know, training and preparing our people, again, showing them that they're valued, again, giving them the tools and equipment that they need so they can go out there and better serve the public, and listening to them. Like, we're making a slight change to our schedule for patrol coming up here in about a week. It's something they asked for that can actually help them be more productive, but also give them a little more time than they currently have to get caught up at the end of the day. And I can explain how that works anytime to anyone.
You mean breathing?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's, they're so busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sometimes, especially during the daytime, it can make it tough. A long watch, 10 hours turns into 12 routinely.
It's 8:19.
It's not the place they hope to be in spring training, but the San Francisco Giants have the rest of the summer to play, and they'll be bringing their exciting brand of ball to Kika Thunder Country 101.5 FM. They've got a lot of games left on the schedule against contending teams, and playing the role of spoiler is a definite possibility. Be tuned in for all the action all season long. Brought to you on KINS in part by Angelo's Pizza, Wyckoff's Plumbing, Electrical, and Hardware, and Living Styles Furniture.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Steve Watson. No longer captain, he's chief. Do you know, you are chief, not chef, right?
I've almost never been a chef in my wife, which my wife will attest to.
Good. So it's not a typo. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah, she'd run screaming from the house if I tried to cook, I think. Yeah,
well,
it would be that bad.
Yeah. And the neighbors would probably be well aware of what was going on, too. And, you know, clear the whole neighborhood here with one good spaghetti, huh?
But I can order takeout is best of them.
What a pro. Yeah. Steve, as you look at what's going on now with the budgets, some of the challenges that are there, some of the, I guess, embedded costs, even though it's still considered EPD, it really isn't, because a lot of it is former EPD. know, with the retirement plans and things of that nature. How much flexibility do you really have to be able to accomplish some of these goals? Yeah, I know the roof is probably not, it will be tagged against you guys, but it's really more maintenance than it is, you know, building maintenance rather than a police department specifically. Do you have a lot of choice with where the money gets spent?
Oh, I mean, one, you have, it's like any account, business or private, you have to operate within your budget, or that tends to be a problem. But, I mean, there is some flexibility depending on how you're spending money out of the different budget line items that you have. So sometimes you pull a little from maybe personnel saving costs to put towards some facility maintenance that's needed because, you know, you're budgeted for X number of officers, but you're down six positions right now. You just got to be careful. You don't want to rely on that because the goal is to get that staffing up to speed. And that, you know, that's one of the first things we need to do. So you asked if I had all the money in the world, I could say, hey, I'd love to have some more cops and come up with some creative things for them to do. But I need to get back to fully staffed with what we're budgeted for already, which has been a challenge for the last several years.
With some of the efficiencies that technology provides, are there ways to make the troops more efficient through the technology? I'm thinking like voice recognition. I mean, if somebody could sit there in their car as they're watching traffic go by and fill out a report with voice recognition, presuming its accuracy.
We're actually looking at that, by the way.
I would think that would increase so much more the opportunity for the folks to react instead of having to bang, 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 bang at the end of the shift or in between calls.
Yeah, technology is part of our leadership plan that command staff under former Chief Mills put together in 2016. So we're constantly trying to look at ways where we can be more efficient and effective, where we can try to safeguard the officer's very valuable time with the idea of freeing them up to do more proactive enforcement, to be out there more visible, present.
Or take your 17 down to 3.
Chasing down the bad crooks in our community versus running call to call. You know, I call running call to call, which is unfortunately what many agencies are forced to do with the realities of resources and crime rates and all of that. But I call that ping pong policing. You're bouncing back and forth, trying to put out problems and stomp out fires, but you're not really accomplishing anything. And so that's where creative, collaborative crime fighting is important. And that goes back to the partnerships with stakeholders, other agencies in the community, as well as the work that the men and women do out there every day. So it's the way my mind works. That's what we'll be doing.
Ping pong?
Well, you know, ping pong tournament for a good cause might be something in the future.
Can't cook, but he can play ping pong. All right. It seems to me that with as many different law enforcement and public safety agencies as we have in the area, is that there shouldn't be places for people to hide who are the bad guys.
We'll tell that to the sheriff's office.
Well, yeah,
hundreds of square miles
in Eureka. That was the end of the phrase. Accurate? Not accurate. I mean, the green belts that some people get excited about, the parks that some people get excited about, the trails that some people get excited about, are all those things not hurdles but impediments?
Well, yeah, absolutely. We have a lot of open spaces in the city of Eureka. You know, and some are slowly being converted to parks, which is great because then you're repurposing or reusing that space for something positive. So when people are coming, for instance, and enjoying the waterfront trail, that tends to push some of the illegal camping and other issues kind of, you know, out of the immediate, you know, public visibility at the very least, because they don't want to be seen doing some of the things that they're doing. Versus if you just had that as an unused space that wasn't safe or accessible to the public, you're going to have a Palco Marsh Devil's Playground type of problem if you're not on top of it. But even now, even with the trail and the positive use, we still have to constantly patrol that stretch, and we're constantly moving people on and removing camps and addressing issues. But we're in a better place today than we were 2 years ago with that.
Better to have it all concentrated in one area or to have it spread out throughout the area? I know that's kind of the Yeah. What side of the baby do you want? You know, the Solomon's
choice. Depends on who you ask. I mean, disbursement, you know, has been a challenge. It can be frustrating. It's something we've been dealing with in third and commercial area and are continuing to. But I would say I believe where we're at today, even with those problems compared to how terrible the Palcomar situation was, is still an incremental improvement. But we do have real challenges and issues with these, especially these most recalcitrant 30 or 40 folks that seem to be left and causing a lot of those problems.
Have we seen an influx with the trimming season?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. It seems like they are new. I was at one of the grocery stores here in the Eureka. Yes? No, last Wednesday. Four or five new people hanging out in front. And it's like, you know, where do you guys come from? I didn't feel like engaging. I was not in the nicest attitude, so I didn't want it to, you know, me to say something stupid.
Yeah, they're both on foot and in vehicles.
Well, and hanging out and warming themselves and it just, I guess, it's frustrating.
Right.
It's also 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Eureka Police Chief Steve Watson. Steve, one of the cool things I think for a lot of us, either that are locals, natives, however you want to say it, or those that have been around for a while, is the continuity that the police chiefs have had. I mean, there's a legacy there. And if you've been around more than one or two terms or one or two people, you kind of start to see some consistencies that are there. And with everything else being up in the air and topsy-turvy right now, it's almost nice, I guess is the word, to have some of that consistency. When you're looking at now, who are you wanting to bring up? Who's going to backfill Watson in the captain slot? Do we have anybody? Are we wanting to? Do we change the structure? Things like that. Is that continuity something that you look for? Or do you want to blow up?
Even maybe more so than looking at just as continuity, it's being sure that the department's all on the same page, that we understand what our mission is, how we are going to police, our role in the community, and all of that, and so that we can be consistent with our message and with the service that we deliver and the enforcement that we give, and everything goes to being part of policing in a complex society these days. But, it starts with the leadership team being on the same page, with the chief being very clear about expectations and where we're going as a department. And then you bring people up and, get them to be part of that team, that goal, and in agreement at the end of the day. There's different ways to get to the same place sometimes. And it goes back to something you said earlier, but it's also not just, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey a lot in life. Same with what we do as a department. We have a lot of good things we can celebrate that we've done, great people, a lot of positives, but we're not there yet. We're not perfect. There's growth that still needs to take place.
Do you still get beat up? I mean, not you. I mean, the
Well, I haven't been beat up since third grade. But
The police department, there's always seems to be, and I don't know if our area is unique or not, but we like to think it is, a core group of the always dissatisfied. And you could give them blueberry cheesecake and they would want apple pie and just raise a stink about it. is that group still there? Are they still, you can never win it with them? And you just kind of have to accept that you're not going to be able to satisfy everybody.
Are you talking about the anonymous keyboard jockeys that you know, post on some of the blogs?
You take your pick. You know, they used to walk around in black sometimes, and they used to do this and used to do that. I mean, over the decades, I mean, it's changed. And if you don't have the guts to sign it, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't even matter.
Look, I've been to a lot of community meetings, obviously, over the last few years, and especially in the last couple of months with the transition and change. And, you know, we have a pretty vibrant presence on social media as well. And I can say that my experience so far with where we're at today with our community and the citizens of Eureka seems to be ultimately a very strong or almost overwhelming support for the difficult job that their public safety, you know, police officers do. Of course, firefighters are always loved.
I would love to stand in the middle of that intersection, yeah, no traffic, for about 2 days and just see what goes back and forth.
Yeah.
I think it's almost an esprit de corps. Everybody, you know, they talk about you guys, you talk about those guys, but everybody's always smiling when you talk.
I mean,
and that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I can't get through the line in, you know, for coffee sometimes in the drive-thru without somebody in front of me having, I don't even know who they are, having paid for the coffee just as a gesture of appreciation for the police department.
Oh, I thought you were going to say without seeing a fire guy there.
No. I moved on already, Brian. Yeah, okay. I'm past the fire department part now. This is our airtime. Chief Gillespie can come down here and talk.
Yeah, I'll get Billy next week to talk about how much he loves you guys.
And there's just so many examples of that, though. And the community's been very supportive. We get emails, postcards, letters all the time in with people thanking the officers for what they do. And I think most people realize that these frustrating problems that we're dealing with, again, the homelessness and heroin addiction and theft rates and some other things that aren't just unique to Eureka. They're a region problem, statewide problem, even a nationwide problem in certain areas. I think they realize there's a lot of things that are beyond our control. And you're not just blaming, you know, the police department for not doing enough. There's always a few that will. And the way we look at it is we're always, how can we do things better, is kind of the mindset that we have. But that support is very appreciated. It means a lot, especially for as hard as, you know, the officers work in this community, the high call volume and pay, quite frankly, is probably a third less than much of the state. And cost of living may be a little less here in some ways, but it's not, ratio doesn't.
As long as we don't have those really warm days like we did last week. Tough.
Yeah, I'd rather wear a bullet resistant vest in Eureka than I would in a place like Redding.
Yeah, well, hey, let's go down to the desert. Yeah, 140. Now you get to wear it. Yeah. Right. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Steve Watson.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Back to Talk Shop this morning with Steve Watson. Steve, in the opening segment, you mentioned something about positions that aren't filled at this point within on the staff. Is there a freeze that's in place, or is it a lack of being able to find interested, qualified individuals?
No,
that's the issue.
It's the latter. We have between 5 and what may soon be, I believe, about 8 open positions in the department for police officer, with people that are a couple people in the middle of backgrounds right now that are wanting to move back to where their family is from. In one case, the officer's wife is already relocated.
So it's there's normal turnover and then there's abnormal turnover.
Yeah, you know, it ebbs and flows too. There's always turnover, but unfortunately right now we're in one of those cycles where, you know, a lot of the progress we made, we've suddenly within just a few short months, went the other way. And so that's why we're offering a $10,000 lateral signing bonus for experienced police officers to come work for us. $5,000 on signing, $2,500 when they get off of field training, and the last $2,500 when they complete their probation successfully with a 3-year contract. But, we're just trying to be creative and also add more incentives for people to come work at what is, yes, a very busy department, but it's also an exciting place to work. And we're lucky. You asked me about the community support. In the middle of a time in our country where nationally there's these, like the Black Lives Matters and some other movements that have raised questions about the community's trust in their police departments, and there's been a lot of media exposure on that, a lot of negativity in the news towards police departments, and you combine that with the heroin epidemic and associated crime, especially in California, with some stupid legislation that was passed. And you look at all these issues where people may have a lot of reasons to be angry, you know, on the surface, but we've had a lot of support in Eureka for the department, which again is very much appreciated.
Which is intriguing because I know early on when the homeless camps were kind of in the center of the bullseye, so to speak, you guys got lit up and lit up.
Very controversial.
So is the execution of that plan not been what these folks that were causing the stir, it didn't come to the fruition that they were concerned about? Has it been done better? Have they just kind of been overwhelmed by others who were in support of it? Why such a significant change?
Again, I think part of it is the way that we carried the plan out, I guess I'll use, for lack of a better word, as thoughtfully and humanely as possible for a difficult situation. But I think they've seen that the city of Eureka and EPD has stepped up into a real gap that exists in needs with this very difficult segment of our society that have a lot of challenges and problems. And we've stepped into a leadership role and really brought this topic to the forefront. We've been an active part of trying to find solutions and really outside the typical role of a police department and a city. And so I'm presuming, maybe some people that were on the fence or maybe even had some negative feelings have saw the amount of effort that we've put in, because we are trying to balance compassion with accountability. But at the end of the day, we are a law enforcement agency. Enforcement is needed, especially with this recalcitrant group that.
Sure. That's what I was going to get to.
Are part of. Not
those folks, are you seeing turnover? Are you seeing people digging in? Are you seeing new folks coming here in the homeless community that are needing either to be re-educated, to be educated about our area? One of the ongoing question marks for me is it seems like for every one that one of the groups finds a place for, there's two more replacing. And it's like an open door policy in the, I guess, in the worst of ways. Knock your socks off, find up 50 positions, 50 jobs, 50 shelters. There's going to be another 50 coming in and backfilling, and there seems to be like a critical mass.
Well, keeping in mind that the point and count time isn't obviously 100% accurate.
Well, that's numbers, okay. Yeah, just intuitively.
Yeah, but the numbers from where we were around the Palco Marsh time to today, we're significantly less based upon that count. But then we're also into the summer and fall months where you do get some influx. People go into housing and programs successfully, and they fall out for various reasons. So some of the people we successfully housed are back out on the street.
Or did Eureka push it into Fortuna and McKinleyville?
Well, if you ask people in McKinleyville, they probably feel. But also, people forget, a lot of people that ended up in the Palco Marsh came from McKinleyville, Fortuna, other places, because they heard there was a place. And then once the marsh was closed, they started looking at going back. Plus, again, homelessness is, a spreading issue, not just in Humboldt County. And it's a crisis in this country. And so with increasing numbers of homeless for various reasons, but the heroin or opioid epidemic is certainly contributing to it, there's increasing numbers. You look at the issues that Redding has and Ukiah and other areas in our region, Humboldt is not alone on that. And so there are more numbers coming into the county.
Has anybody looked to see how California measures against other states?
I'm sure they have. I just don't have that.
Little something right for next time. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you for having me.
See everybody tomorrow.